Amen. Good morning, everybody, and welcome here on this Memorial Day weekend. And I just want to first just say, man, how thankful I am for all the men and women who have given their lives for us. How many know freedom is not free, everybody? Amen. And we. Amen. Amen. And so we just thank God for them from different ones of us. I know we're all impacted and are very thankful for those who have served, our families, friends. And so just on this day, we want to, as a church, remember and thank God for the price of so many thousands of men and women who have given their lives to defend our great freedom in this nation. We live in a blessed nation. Amen, everybody. And we're honored and thankful. And for those who are continuing to serve and all abroad the world to protect and to continue to look after us. I mean, it's so important that we just continue to pray over all of our servicemen and women. Amen, everybody. And so thankful. So for any of them listening this morning, we love you. We thank God for you, praying for you, and we honor you so, so very much this morning. Yesterday was a great day for getting to the message. We had our adopt-a-block that took place, and man, I just got to tell you, for Memorial Day weekend, you know, I know a lot of people take trips and everything, but man, we just had a great crew that came out, and down in the Weiser Park area is where we do our adopt-a-block. There you go. And isn't that a good-looking crew, everybody? I mean, aren't they good-looking? And boy, what a great time we had, and just continuing to find needs and fill them, find hurts and heal them. That's our heart, our compassion in that area. Dan Sparling, who does a great job right down here, leading and directing. And so glad for what God's doing. I will say this, man, this summer is going to be, I think, and we've been talking so much, just going to be a powerful time with Adopt a Block and some other things happening. I want to encourage you, if you've not been part of any of our just outreaches, man, you got to get in it. And I know I talked a little bit about it last week, but I'm just encouraging you. Adopt a Block's every fourth Saturday, but we have small groups that are even out of semester, outreach groups that are happening every week. And so if you've not jumped in, whether it's through our nursing homes, now we're going to have multiple of that, and then our homeless and just reaching the streets, and then just the vision that we carry, man, is just we want to see God just continue to put in the hearts of people to do other different outreaches as well and through small groups. And it's just impacting. And so about 30 of us or so yesterday was just great. Ashton came with me, and it was great to see some of our kids out there. Let me just tell you this. I think one of the great ways to help our kids learn understanding serving is get them out in the trenches with mom and dad, and let's serve together. And I think for me, just as dad with Ashton, man, it was a joy yesterday for me. I get my hands dirty because they got dirty yesterday, but we do give gloves, everybody, all right? So, but it was fun, and just talking and building relationships. Yours truly even played some pickup basketball with some of the boys of the neighborhood yesterday. Just had to, you know, kind of break out a little bit, but it was fun. Had a great time with it. And how many know it's about building relationships? It's about making an impact for Jesus, amen? So if it's through the means of some basketball, we're going to do it, you know? And so they are so thankful, and they know us well because we have been serving down there for nearly 5 years, really, and just continue to make an impact. But we just want to continue to see things thrive and grow. So just stay on the lookout. We got some details of the summer that are going to be pretty amazing, and I want to invite you to be a part of that with us. How many of you have enjoyed this series on joy? How many have just been enjoying this? Amen? Amen. How many feel like you got some joy? I mean, you need some joy. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's been great. And I think, honestly, I feel like it's just been preaching to me the whole series. This is one of those series I think it's just been a helpful reminder just for me, and just growing in the things of God, and just wanting more and more to grow in the place of joy. And how many know not allowing our circumstances to dictate the course and the direction of our life? Amen. You said better amen than that, everybody. Come on, y'all awake. Y'all awake this morning, all right? And so we've been, over the last couple weeks, covering a few things. I do want to just do a quick review. Our first week, we talked about joy for the journey and the difference between happiness and joy. How many know we learned that? There's a massive difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on external things, circumstances, luck, and chance. How many don't know you don't want to base your life on some luck, but basing your life on the promises of God? Amen. Because joy is inward. It's internal. It's what God's doing in you. It's based on your relationship with Jesus. And it's a choice. Everybody say it's a choice. Joy is a choice. And so choose joy. And then last week in the gym, how many enjoyed the gymnasium experience, everybody, last week? Come on, don't matter where you have church. How many know where God's invited, he's going to show up. Amen, everybody. And so we had a great time in there, but how many are thankful for the new concrete floors? Woo, yeah. I feel a little more Jesus in here today because of it, I think, you know. All right, I'm just teasing you. But anyways, we're thankful for it. I was tired. I was telling somebody this week, I thought, boy, it just hit me like this week. I thought, man, for as tired as I was, look at them coffee-stained floors. I can't imagine the way y'all felt. So, but nonetheless, we've moved forward. And Project 2 is actually our stage getting ready to happen here in a couple weeks. Glad for that as well. And so thankful. But last week, we talked about just a look at the heart and looked at some things that have the ability to kill joy, steal it from us. And then we also just talked on really just living beyond us. Everybody say, it's not about me. Say it one more time just because it feels good. It's not about me. It's not. It's not about you. It's not about me. And so really learning to go beyond ourselves and continuing to make a difference. When we do things like that in the community, how many know that's going beyond ourselves? Amen. And just making a difference. So I was really contemplating because I decided to close up the series today because next week you won't want to miss it. Just kind of my commercial for next Sunday is Corey Nichols is going to be with us from Destiny Rescue and presenting just our new mission focus for our church, international. Yeah, I'm excited too. And so I'm telling you what, man, this guy is the real deal who's been in the trenches and just is going to share, I think, some stories with you that will shake you. And so as we just go on a mission of helping to rescue trafficked children, and he's also going to be presenting, again, what we're going to be doing as a church and some opportunities that we have to continue to make an impact globally. And so, and man, he's a fireball is what I call him. I said, man, I've heard you, bro. I was like, you got some fire in you. I like it. And so you'll enjoy him next week. He's a great man of God, Micah Nichols' son. And so just so glad for that. And but I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday for that so you don't miss out. So as I was thinking about this series, I thought about, you know, chapter 3, chapter 4. We're going to go with chapter 4, and I want you to know chapter 3 is real good too. So if you've been reading and going along in this series, take a look at that chapter. But I think you'll see why I just kind of felt led to close it up with this today. Verse 1 here, it says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy, the crown I receive from my work." You know, the great thing about Paul, sometimes we miss, is Paul was a great pastor. Man, he loved people. His life was radically changed by Jesus. And what's so, I think, cool about this is the revelation of this chapter is Paul's encouragement in the midst of joy is also, man, just continuing to have fun living this life and making a difference for the Lord. And so we only can find our joy in Jesus, amen? And the hope is that we share that joy with others. One of the scriptures that we talked about last week in Philippians chapter 2 was our joy, the Bible says, is complete when you have joy. So it says, my joy is complete, Paul said last week, and we read it, is when you have joy. In other words, when the person on my right and my left have joy, then my joy is complete. Because how many know it's just not enough for you to have joy, but we need everybody to have it as well. Amen, everybody? And so that's the hope, and that's the prayer. And so I want to look at some things again this week that I think has the potential to rob us from joy, to steal some things away from us. Verse 6 here in chapter 4, it says, we're going to read the rest of this verse in a little bit, but it says, do not be anxious about anything. Anxiousness is really the ultimate thief of joy and has the ability to rule our lives. It's kind of a tension. Have you ever been in the tension of kind of being between something? You know, it's kind of being between. You feel pulled in different directions. Anybody felt that before in their life? Nobody? Okay, there we go. A few of you, all right? If I'm preaching to myself, I'm preaching to myself. That's fine. But it's like I'm halfway between hope and halfway between fear. It's like I'm hoping for promotion in my job, but I'm afraid it won't happen. It's like I hope that my kids will come to know Jesus, but I'm afraid it might not happen. We kind of find ourselves in this tension, and so we live our lives between this. And I want to tell you really kind of how we end up here and why this happens oftentimes. If you're following along on our notes, jot this first one down with me this morning so we can get free of this, and that's our worry. Do you realize that your worry has the ability to cripple you, to even paralyze you? It's what fear does to people, and that's the enemy's tactic to try to hold you back from God's plan and his purpose for your life. It's interesting, as y'all know how much I love stats, I looked up the top 4 worries in America, and number 1 was health. Number 1 worry is people's health. Number 2 is family. Number 3 is the economy. And then number 4 is terrorism. top four worries in America. But then how many know there are smaller things that can kind of cause worry or fear? May not always be the big things, but could be the small things. And so there's a lot of phobias out there. You know, there's over 500 different phobias that are out there. Phobias, yeah. And so things that people are worried about or fearful of. So I thought I'd have a little fun and share a few with you because some of us may need some help in some of these. Amen. I know there's one of them's got my name on it. That's me, Lord, help me. All right. And so I'll highlight it in a minute. But the number one phobia in America is being asked to speak in public. It's called glossophobia. Nobody wants to get up on a stage and talk to people. And so that's the number one phobia in our country. There's another one called the patron phobia. Maybe this is you. It's the fear of being tickled by feathers. Y'all got that fear? Like, don't touch my feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many know what I'm talking about? Leave me alone. There's another one. This is the one I have. All right, this is the one I tend to struggle with. I'm just going to see how many other honest folk are out here today. It's called NOMO, N-O-M-O, nomophobia, and it's the fear of losing your cell phone. Now, y'all had to think about that. Like, ooh, that's me. Yeah. Anybody kind of, when you lose that cell phone, you're kind of like freaking out. Like, where's it at? Anybody like me in that? All right. See, we'll go to prayer together, everybody, today. All right. There's another one. It's called chorophobia. It's the fear of dancing. Whew. Yeah. And then there's phobophobia, which is the fear of having a phobia. The fear of fear. So, man, we got the fear of fear. We definitely need to come up with some prayer today. Amen, everybody. All right, we'll help. But here's what I know. Worry can rule our life. It's a thief. It robs joy. Can I tell you the root word for the word worry? You may want to write this down if you're a note taker. The root word for the word worry is strangle. And can I tell you that that's the enemy's plan is to choke you out, to get you to tap out, and to put a stranglehold on your life with constant worry and fear about tomorrow. But how many know God's got a different plan other than worry and fear, everybody? And I'm so glad for the promises of God that are yes and amen. So here's our next one that I think has the ability to rob us, and that's our why. Let's say our why. And so we've been talking about this, that actually in our first week of this series, to not get in a place, people die in their whys, constantly, why is this happening, why is that happening? And instead of getting in that place, getting in a place of saying, God, what are you doing? God, this season that I'm going through, and I think a true sign of maturity for a follower of Jesus and within character and the growth of somebody is when you can get to the place and say, God, what are you wanting to do? Instead of why is this happening to me, God, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me in this season? Amen? And so what are you trying to happen? Or what are you wanting to do? And I was thinking about a story that I've preached many times about the children of Israel who God called them out of bondage to the promised land. Should have took them 3 weeks to get to the promised land, but took them 40 years to get there. Why? Because they were complaining, murmuring. They were just, not coming under just even the leadership of Moses. And they were in a time of just not submitting to God ultimately. And so it caused them to drift. Think about that. What should took them 3 weeks took them 40 years. And many of those people died in the place of the wilderness and never got to see the promise. Can I just tell you, I don't want that to be my tale and my story and my legacy. So whatever season I'm in, I'm learning as well that God, okay, what is it in this season? Because I don't want to stay here where I'm at. How many want to go further than where you're at? So you have to get to a place that says, God, okay, what is it that you're trying to show me? Because I'm not interested in hanging out in this spot for the next 40 years of my life. But I want to get in a place where I'm hearing from you and moving forward into your plan, into your purpose for my life. Like, it's not good where I'm at, Lord. So I want to move forward. So God, what is it that you're trying to show me? What do I need to be? What do I need to learn? Teach me. I think a teachable spirit is so important. We live in an hour where a lot of people don't want to be teachable anymore because, as I showed you last week, the statistics of trending things in our culture is showing more and more selfishness when God has called us to more and more selflessness. Amen, everybody? So we're in that place. We just got to be careful. So I just encourage you, whatever it is, wherever you find yourself, just know it's not a forever season. And you determine that. Can I just tell you that? You determine the course of how quickly you go through a season by your receptivity and your openness to God and you being teachable. Oh, don't shout me down. All right. Just trying to help somebody get through a season a little quicker. Come on, somebody. And so 2 Timothy 1:7, I want you all to read this with me if you would.
Here we go. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want you to make it personal. So replace us with me. It says, say it with me, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a... Now, your mind can be right. Oftentimes, you and I's greatest struggles are jacked up minds and our thought, but God's saying your mind can be sound. That's what I'm talking about, everybody. That's what I want. But here's what I know. If we only do what we feel comfortable doing, then we tell God we don't need you. Oftentimes, we find our journeys in the place of just comfortability. God's going to call you into the uncomfortable. Oh, yeah, God's going to call you into that's why you have to, I've said it before, you've got to adopt the gift of inconvenience. I believe it's a gift. I believe you got to be willing to be inconvenienced if you want to pursue God's plan and call for your life, because it's not going to happen on your timetable. Not going to happen on your schedule. Amen. Not going to happen when you want. You know, it's so important for us to understand that. Ecclesiastes 11:4, that's why I love this verse. It says, so if you wait for perfect conditions, you're never going to get anything done. So many people, we spend our life just waiting for it all to line up. Breaking news. It's not going to happen that way. It's like, have you ever seen that graph on the internet? It's got like your plan, it's like straight, and then God's plan kind of like that, you know? I don't know if y'all ever seen that picture, but I thought, boy, that is true. The path I want to take's just smooth with no problems, everybody. Isn't that what we all want? But how many know that's just not the reality, that we go on journeys, and the purpose of that journey is to develop you, and God is always more concerned with your character than your comfort, and so he takes you on a journey, everybody. I'm preaching better than your amen. And all right, we'll go to the next one. It's our who. Everybody say our who. Oh, yeah. Do you realize, and I bet you do, people can create anxiety in your life? Oh, I get some help on this one. I know it. Some of y'all laughing because you got one right now. You know what I call them? I call them my EGRs, everybody. Extra grace required, folk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when I have those in my life, Lord, I thank you for sending them a new friend in Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. I don't pray that. But extra grace required. We all have some people that can cause a little bit more tension, anxiety in our life. And I'm just telling you, man, I can't hang with negative folk. Mm-mm. Ain't got time for you. Ain't got time for your selfishness. All right? Either it's about we or nothing at all. It's not about me, so we got to understand the we. Amen, everybody? And so, but everyone has a who. You have a who, I have a who, we all have a who. If you don't know who your who is, you might be the who. All right, everybody? And so, just as we navigate here, this, for some of us, the boss, our bosses are who. It may seem like Darth Vader. Not for our staff here, you know what I mean? So, amen. But it might be that person. You ever had that person? It's just like you dread going to the phone. Man, is it them? Like you've even turned it on silent, hoping this. You don't even hear it because you're afraid it might be them. That phone call, that text. Y'all laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so, but we do. And God always is going to put us in comfortable positions to grow us. But I would, you know what? I would rather be in an uncomfortable spot, because when I'm in comfortable spots, I realize I'm growing. I realize the Holy Spirit is trying to do something in me. And so I'm realizing, okay, I'm on a journey here with the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are you trying to show me in this season? And the purpose of why uncomfortable times come is so that we would rely on God and not on us. And so I think so often we get it wrong in Christianity. We get it wrong as followers of Jesus Christ. We just want God to come and fix all of our problems. God is not a genie, and you are not at his command. All right? He gives you his command, everybody. And what happens is we want to serve him without ever needing him. And so we want just God to come in and fix it all. And so God takes us on a journey. And we got to remember that whatever it is that we're going through, his grace, everybody say his grace, is sufficient. That his power, the Bible said, is made perfect in all the things that we stink at. And he's not going to fix the fact that you stink. Hear me. All right? But he comes in to make us awesome in the areas that we stink at. Amen, everybody? I'm thankful that where I stink, he's strong. Amen, everybody? That's a tweet there, somebody. All right? Where I'm weak, he's strong. Where I stink, he's strong. All right? But that's how God works. He is not concerned if you're talented enough. That's not what he's looking at. He's always looking at the heart I love Ephesians 3 because it reminds us that his power is always working in us, and his power, and because of his power working in us, we can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or think because of his power, because you and I are nothing without his power. We need the presence of God. We need an experience with God. You know, and can I tell you, your experience with God doesn't have to, it can be in a service, but it can happen in your bedroom. It can happen on your drive to work. Come on, somebody, amen? Experience and growing in the place and the presence of God. He'll do infinitely more than we ask or think. I love this here in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said to his disciples as they're hanging out, he said, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Remember, Jesus wrote the owner's manual for life, everybody, all right? He said, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Everybody say, life is more. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable? Can I tell you that you are valuable, that you are worthy? Man, Christ died for you because he loves you. You're worthy. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're not valuable, because you are. You are made. You are his masterpiece, all right? You're more valuable than the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So we have a choice. And because of the price that Jesus paid for us, we can have joy, not just for a moment, but we can have joy for life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And I want to remind you of the context of this scripture, because it's so important. Paul is sitting in a prison, you guys, when as God uses him to write a massive portion, two-thirds of the New Testament, and encouraging the church. And I just love his heart that's shown here. And you got to imagine, again, because he's chained up to a jailer 24 hours a day, hands and feet. I mean, just imagine. And in the midst of this, he's talking about joy. I think it's awesome. He said, so how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again, talking to the church. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned, look at that, to be content. I've learned, Paul said, to be free and not be controlled by the external and my circumstances in my life. Whatever the circumstances are, I've learned to be content. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Look at this. He said, I've learned the secret. Everybody say the secret. And the secret is joy. If you find it. Paul found it. He said, I've learned the secret to joy, being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So jot this down. That's why we have to make the joy decision every day. Make the joy decision every day. And so the thing that I think is remarkable about Paul and when you read the book of Philippians is a very practical book that the Lord gives us that I think is so powerful that God just edges out this and just practically really talks to his people through. And there's three things that Paul was living out in his life in prison that I think you and I can learn something very valuable and powerful from. Number one, jot this down, is to pray about everything. Now, and I'm going to take my time with this because I think sometimes we just kind of, we hurry through moments like this, even in our life. And prayer is a conversation with God. I take my time when I talk to the Lord, but I also take my time listening to him. I think oftentimes we get so caught up in what's going on that we do more talking than we do listening. I think one of the greatest arts of communication is your ability to listen well. Amen, everybody? And so it's listening. Watch what Paul said here. I want to teach you something this morning that I think was powerful. This scripture, well, let me read it first, all right? It says this, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, Lord. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I want you to see something. As you go before the Lord, and as you go into the presence of God, and as you submit your prayers and requests and your thanksgiving to him, I want you to watch what happens. I want you to see in this verse what the Holy Spirit, what God wants to do for you as we are, listen to me, consistent in that place of God of going to him. The result of that is you're going to have peace. Some of you need peace right now. You're going to leave with it today. I said, you're going to leave with it today. Amen, everybody? Which surpasses or transcends all your understanding, meaning it's the kind of peace the world can't give. It's the kind of peace that you can't even fully understand. We read about it, but I believe we fully can't even comprehend it. Because that's how God is. He wants to blow your mind. He's not looking to touch your natural mind. He wants to just blow your mind, melt that brain of ours. Amen, everybody? Like, that's the kind of God I want to serve that just loves to. Sometimes you just need a kind of moment with God. All right, I'm being serious. All right, here we go. Which transcends all understanding, and from that, your time in prayer, your time with God, will then guard the two greatest places the enemy will attack you the most, your heart and your mind. Because when you get into both, feelings, emotions, how many know that can take you down a wrong path? You got to be. How many know our thoughts can take us down a wrong path? So here's what God is saying. When you spend time with me, when you talk to me and come into the presence of God and just say, you know, some moments for me, everybody, just keep that up there, guys, for a minute, is simple. Simple. And what I mean by simple is I just show up. I say, man, God, I'm here. Sometimes I'll talk to God. Sometimes I'll flip on my elevation worship and my Hillsong music, all right, and just get my worship on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and then sometimes it's just quiet because sometimes I just need quiet. I don't want anything. Sometimes I just want to listen. Sometimes just saying, God, I'm just here. I'm just here in your presence. Lord, speak to me. Can I just tell you, God longs to speak to you. Listen. And I think that's the thing. God really wants to talk to his people. Man, if we're going to live a life that's different from the world, we got to know how to listen well. We got to know how to practically apply. Man, there's enough sin and junk in the world, everybody, that we've got to turn from. Amen? And the only strength and help that you and I are ever going to have is through the help of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the activity of the Holy Spirit present in our life and in our churches. Come on, somebody. And I'm just telling you, that's what he desires, everybody. That's what he's doing, everybody. Pay attention. I'm telling you, he's speaking, longing to speak to you, his people. And so it's going to guard your hearts and your mind. This is a massive game changer for me in my life. I think we create a lot of anxiety in our life by handling things on our own. Prayer is an invitation. Can I tell you what God is waiting for? An invitation from you. God shows up where he's invited. But for some, maybe we have not invited. But today maybe is the day that we begin the invitation and say, God, I need you. I don't just need you on Sunday. My God, I need you through the week. Because, man, hell hits me on Monday, Tuesday morning sometimes. Lord, I need your presence. Keep me from acting crazy up in the workplace, from losing my mind on my EGR. Come on, somebody. Like, I need that kind of talk to me. You know what I mean? We need that kind of power. God shows up where he's invited. I'll never forget when we moved to Fort Wayne. It was the most exciting day of our journey in ministry, planting a church. Woo! Hallelujah. And excited, 2011. Actually, today on one of my apps, I got up this morning and it showed, you know, it's 6 years today, you know, and we moved here on this day 6 years ago. It was crazy. And so never forget, we moved and Bethany's job transferred. So some have heard that part of the story. She was my sugar mama for a season, you know, as I was working to start the church plant. But we moved and it was literally all hell broke loose. We had three deaths in a matter of 9 weeks in our family, two on Bethany's side and one on mine. And I thought, whoa, you know, and we had just left Columbus after that too, and I just thought, gosh. And I'll never forget Bethany's job was in jeopardy. She worked from home. The home office was in Columbus, Ohio. The internet connection of all things we had issues with. Oh, my goodness in heaven. I mean, you would have thought the world ended with her job. If they told her, if this doesn't get corrected, because it kept cutting off her job, they said, we're going to have to let you go. Worry, fear, thinking, God, we just, Lord, I ain't getting paid. I ain't got nothing coming in, Lord, if I got to go, whatever I got to do, though, Lord. You know, but it's just worry and fear. I'm thinking, we got to plant a church. My sister-in-law, Melissa, she moves with us, quits her job, starts a new job here, absolutely hates it. I thought, well, welcome to Fort Wayne, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending us here. But how many of you know when the enemy attacks, he only attacks who he fears the most? Your attack and your problems are indicative of what's on the other side of it. You can't quit. Don't quit. The attack is a sign that God really is on the move, and don't give in to the pressures of what the enemy is doing, nor the circumstances that may be out of your control, but don't allow those things to affect you and to navigate your life. Stay zeroed in and focused in on God's word and his power and in the presence of God, because as you do, he promised, I'm going to guard your mind. I'm going to guard your heart. Don't freak out. I've got this. I know this seems crazy, but in the midst of it, I'm doing something in you. Come on, man. I'm preaching better than y'all. Amen in this morning. Prayer must be our first response, not our last resort. Amen. And oftentimes that we go to God when it's too late. Three things very quickly, and I've got to move. I want to give you, first of all, that we get from this scripture is prayer. He said, I want you to prayer, petition, thanksgiving. Prayer means this, addressing something to God in the midst of your anxiousness. Say, God, I just want you to hear my heart. Hear what's going on. Petition. Here's what that means. It's a humble request saying this. God, here's what I'd love for you to do. And then thanksgiving is a moment in my prayer time I love, because it's a time of thanking God in advance by faith for what he's getting ready to do. Come on, let's shift the understanding of our prayer, and let's understand that this is part of what God's doing. This is part of what he's wanting to grow us in as a church as well and as his people. You can really live a life of joy in the midst of craziness. And let me just say this. In that season when we moved here, and I was battling depression in the midst of it, by the way, it was a dark time for me, and all this is happening. God took me to this scripture. And then in the midst of it, here's what I learned, guys. Maybe this will help somebody that in the process, because the process isn't always enjoyable, right? It's not always fun to go through the process, but how many know it's important to submit to God through the process? In the process, here's what I learned. What I need more than a result to prayer is just the peace of knowing that God is at work in my life. And that's exactly what I figured out. I thought, no. I had it wrong. And so God showed me that. Psalm 35, it says, his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Come on, this is somebody's verse this morning. Weeping may last through the night. Some of y'all been weeping through the night, but come on, it's getting ready to turn, everybody. I'm telling you, it's turning. It's turning. You got to see it. You got to speak it. Joy comes with the morning. Second thing, you got to think about right things. I'm going to move here. Verse 8 here of Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Paul said, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or see in me, put those things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I just want to say quickly, ask you this. Just kind of imagine you and I are at Starbucks. It's me and you. We're hanging out. I'm on a little Starbucks fast right now, so pray for me. Those are happy thoughts, all right? And so just, I want to ask you, how you doing, though? Like, how you doing? How's life through the week? What are you doing with your time? What are you listening to? What are you watching? You got to be careful what you're putting in you. Whatever you put in you will come out of you. So you got to be careful what you're filling your life with. How's your time with God look? Because here's what I've learned, gang. I cannot have rivers of negativity pouring in my life through the week and only drops of God. I have got to be in his presence. Man, if I'm going to continue to run this race with strength, it's because we're abiding in his presence. Godly thinking leads to godly behavior. And so for some, it's even changing the way we speak. It's changing our words. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the tongue. Your words, see, and I think we just kind of make light of this, but for real, your words are powerful. Hear me. Hear your pastor. Can I pastor you for a moment? Let me pastor you. Whether it's talking to somebody, about somebody, online, doesn't matter. Watch your words. They carry death. They carry life. So when I'm speaking or am I typing, am I speaking life or am I speaking death? I know I won't get a lot of amens on that, but it's going to help you. And I love you enough. Tell you what, it's something that's really helped my life. Just keep my mouth shut on some things. And because what happens is that we start saying, well, my life is always going to be this way. It's always going to be average. Well, no. God said, you're his masterpiece, last time I checked. Say, I'm always going to have this struggle, Pastor. No. The Bible says you're an overcomer. Well, Pastor, I'm always going to live in fear. Well, no, the Bible says no weapon formed that could even be formed against you will prosper. So if you change the words you're saying, you'll change the things you're seeing. I'm going to say it again. If you'll change the words you're saying, you'll change the things you're seeing. Speak life. You have not because you ask not, James says. So don't use your words to just try to fill up and describe everything bad that's going in your life. Use your words to change the situation. Amen, everybody? Here's the third thing. You got to trust. Everybody say trust. Trust God in all things. He's fighting for you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Psalm 18, this verse, man, it just lit me up this week. It says, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Listen, you can't be an overcomer without some conflict. So you're going to be an overcomer and be all that God has called us to be. You're going to go through some stuff, but you never have to go through it alone. That's the great thing about God. Amen, everybody? That's the great thing about who he is. I was listening to a message. I'm just going to throw this out quick. Pastor Stephen Furtick, and I've just kind of been marinating on this message he preached. He actually preached at the ART conference as well when we were there a few weeks ago. It's called Harvest Problems. I encourage you, go check it out. Great, great message. And talked about, man, anybody ever farm? Like, ever been a real farmer? Like, oh yeah, Ray has, absolutely. A couple of you? I'm not talking about just picking berries. I mean, like, farming. You know what I'm saying? Like, farming, like the, yeah. Like, Ray will tell you, it's hard work. Like, it's some 12, 14-hour days for them guys. You'll be driving on the highway, and you'll see them in their tractors still at night. It's hard work. And I love a great point that Pastor Stephen made in that just has helped me. And just within it, talking about the harvest, we get excited about, man, the harvest is coming. But you got to understand the harvest is work. Your hardships are indicative of the harvest. That's a word for somebody. You've been going through some stuff. 2017 has been tough for me too. But you know what I realized? The harvest is coming. I know I'm going through some stuff right now, but the harvest is coming. And here's what I know. If the devil can keep you from recognizing the harvest, then he'll keep you from reaping it. God has called us to be a people that reaps the harvest. Romans 8:31 says, so what then? I love this verse. It's like a show-off verse from the Lord. Shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, I want to know who can be against us? Pray about everything. Think on the right things and trust God in all things. And then I love how we close this up. Verse 21 says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. And I'll tell you about that in a second. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Keep that verse up there. What you may not realize about Paul is, man, he went through so much. We've talked about that and what God did through his life. Same thing you read about in Scripture God wants to do in your life. His life was radically changed by Jesus. He reached so many for the Lord. And 250 years later, Rome becomes a Christian empire. Now, Paul thought he was going to reach Rome through a platform and a stage, but God used him in a prison to reach a nation, to reach a city for the glory of God. And oh yeah, by the way, the other cool thing, that Caesar's household all got saved. So here's what I know. In the midst of prison, my greatest storms, joy wins every time. It does. Amen, everybody. Come on, will you stand to your feet this morning? And just bow your head right where you're at. And here's what I just want you to do this morning. Just right where you're at, if you're comfortable with it. Just kind of open up your hands like this. Just kind of like this. Just right there where you're at. And here's what I want. Just no moving around, if you would. Just really, let's honor and respect this moment here as we pray. But Father, I thank you right now. Right now. God, we, your people, stand in your presence. You are here, and you are with us. God, for some of us, we've had the weeping in the nights. But I declare, joy is coming this morning into your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now over every person. God, we are a people that are desperate for you. desperate for more of Jesus. No man, no anything can replace, God, your presence. So, Father, this morning we declare we need you. Can I encourage you, as your hands are right there, come on, just stay in this posture of prayer. For some, this might be the first time you've ever done something like this. Just say this. Just say, God, I need you. Come on, just invite him in your life. Give him an invitation. Where you invite him, he's going to show up. Invite him in your marriage this morning. Come on, invite him in your family this morning. Invite him on the job this week. Father, we invite the working of your Holy Spirit right now. We pray, God, and we petition you. And God, right now with thanksgiving, we thank you today what you're going to do, the joy that's coming, the harvest that is on the way in Jesus' name, the miracles that are in motion in our life, I declare it in Jesus' name. Right now, right now. Come on. If you've never hung out in the presence of the Lord, this is what it's like. It's peaceful. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he's here. So, Lord, we want to come away from the things that hold us back. We declare sin doesn't have a hold on us. In Jesus' name, Satan, you have no right, no voice in our life. You must go in Jesus' name. Fill us right now. And we surrender. We just surrender to you, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus, King of Kings. Thank you, God. So, man, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm letting the Holy Spirit speak, because the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. Let him speak to you. Let him talk to you right now. Hear his voice. I'm telling you, listen, he's talking. We're just letting God be God. Thank you, God, for your presence. Oh, there's nothing sweeter than the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. Pray for just two things today. If you're here this morning and you just say, Pastor, man, I need that joy. You've been talking about it for weeks, but I still feel like I'm searching for it. I'm desperate for it. I need it. Come on, if you're here right here just in this moment, if you say, man, that's me. I need that joy. Will you raise your hand? Just raise anybody that says, yeah, many hands. There we go. There we go. Proud of y'all. Awesome, awesome. Father, I pray over every person right now that longs for joy. That, Lord, much weeping has been taking place in many of their lives, I'm sure. God, in the midst of even decisions that need to be made in our life, let joy come in. Let peace come in. Let your presence invade our hearts and our minds. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, fill them with joy today. Fill them with your presence. Lord, let them know that you are with them. You are next to them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. I believe you, God, for it. That joy is in motion in your life. Joy is in motion right now in you. If you're here right now, I want to encourage you, if you don't have Jesus in your life, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, I want to encourage you, don't leave today without knowing him. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a second. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment if this is you. But if you feel far from God today, or you're totally new at this, I just want you to know Christ died for you. He died on a cross for you. He was put in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and we're so glad for it. But if you're the only person left, I'm telling you, he would have died just for you. He loves you so much. And if you realize this morning, man, I need Jesus in my life. I've been trying to do it without him, and I can't any longer. On the count of three, in a moment, I just want you to put your hand right up. Do it with boldness. He went to that cross beaten, naked, bold for you. So come on, all over this room, go ahead and put your hand up right now. Come on. Say, man, that's me. That's me. That's me. If you say that's me, just put your hand real high. Let me see. That's it. Yep. I'm proud of you guys. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just repeat this prayer. If you raised your hand there, I just want to encourage you to say this prayer with me this morning and mean it just within your heart. We're going to turn our back on our old life and way of doing things. And we're going to say yes to God today. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from them. And I turn to you this morning. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me and raising to life again. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit for a brand new life today. Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. And Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, for about 30 seconds, can we just put our hands together? Come on, can we give Jesus the praise? Come on, because he deserves it. People have made decisions to turn their back on the world and sin. Come on, we thank you, God, for who you are.